This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, we hear so many times here on Environment Matters about Hertfordshire's fantastic chalkstream rivers. The water for them comes not directly from rain, but from chalk rocks deep underground that emerge from the ground as springs. And because of this, they should be consistently cool and clean with a gravel bed and have their own unique range of plants and animals living in them. Now, sadly, we also regularly cover how many of our chalkstream rivers aren't in great shape. Amongst their many problems, the fact that we take water from the chalk bedrock for our own uses, so there's not very much water left for the river itself, we pollute the rivers with sewage and runoff from fields and roads, and we divert them, move them and cover them if we feel that they're in the way. But things are being done to help, many of which, again, we have heard about here on Environment Matters. Affinity Water have told us how they are piping water in from outside Hertfordshire to reduce pressure on our chalk streams. And local groups like the Vare Valley Society and the Friends of the Hiss have told us how they are advocating for rivers and regularly clearing them of rubbish, for example. And now the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust have started a project to help the River Lea and its tributaries as they face another threat, climate change. They're undertaking a two-year project to restore 11 kilometres of chalkstream habitat to increase its resilience to climate change impacts. I spoke to Sarah Perry, River Catchment Coordinator at the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, and I started by asking her to tell us what's so special about the River Lea and its tributaries.
Well, the River Lea and the tributaries in Hertfordshire are globally rare chalk streams. So these are really special, rare kinds of river that we're really fortunate to have, just found actually in England and a couple of parts of northern France. And here in Hertfordshire, we're stewards of around 10% of that world total. There's about 260 rivers of this kind in the world. They're real arcs for our wildlife. They're one of the most biodiverse types of rivers that we have in Europe. So we're very keen on looking after them and doing what we can to protect them.
Indeed. And the Lea, it seems a little bigger than most of our chalk streams in Hertfordshire. Is it the biggest river? Well, is it the biggest chalkstream river? The biggest chalkstream river around here, I suppose.
I mean, it is a significant size river, so it's 56 kilometres long, so quite a lot longer than some of the tributaries, which are around 15 to 20 kilometres long. You know, historically, it still does. It rises from a chalk aquifer up near Luton, over in Bedfordshire County, and then is sequentially fed by springs along its course down to meet the Thames in London. It has, of course, been quite heavily modified, the River Lea, so it perhaps doesn't look like your typical iconic chalk stream, as parts of some of our tributaries do, but nonetheless, it's fed by that same spring water that brings these special mineral properties to the river, making it more of a chalk stream environment.
Okay. So can you tell us a bit about the effect that climate change is having on rivers like the Lea?
Well, we're really seeing quite significant impacts. You know, we have more erratic rainfall patterns across the year. So we're seeing hotter, drier summers with less rainfall for longer, and then milder, wetter winters where we have less frost and snow covering on the land during those months. And both of these things have a real impact on the surface flows of the rivers and also the chalk aquifer, the water held in the bedrock that feed the spring sources to these rivers. With these flash flooding type heavy rainfall events, the rain doesn't sit on the land. The precipitation, like snow and sleet, doesn't find its way on the land to allow it enough time to soak in and actually percolate down to replenish that chalk aquifer. In the summer, we obviously have hotter, drier summers as well. So the soil capping the chalk aquifer dries out quite quickly, and it takes a much longer time for that soil to become wet before the water absorbs down into the chalk aquifer. So we're seeing impacts to the amount of water supplied to our rivers. We're also seeing more flashy events happen in our rivers, with heavy rainfall running off the land in sort of torrents and causing surface flooding and surface runoff into these chalk streams more regularly during both winter and summer. So quite big issues, really.
They do sound like really big issues. And I'm interested to know, you know, given that sadly we just can't change the climate quite as easily as that, whether there is really anything that can be done to help, sort of generally speaking.
Absolutely. I mean, from our perspective, it's all about nature-based solutions to help us adapt to and cope with climate change and to help our wildlife thrive. You know, rivers are a really good example of a natural system that have been modified by people over centuries, if not thousands of years. And actually, a lot of that physical modification, when put right, can help to mitigate against some of these impacts we're seeing through climate change. So, for example, we can look at things like reconnecting the floodplain to our rivers to help cope with higher flow events. That floodplain can inundate itself, flood out, and help water to absorb in the landscape and be held there for longer to help mitigate impacts of flooding further downstream or over dryness in the summer. We can look at slowing the flow through our river systems by putting features back like large woody habitat that, again, through mismanagement, are often ripped out of rivers where trees fall into them. But all of that can help with alleviating those impacts of high and low flows.
Okay, so there are some things that can kind of, well, as I say, climate change is the cause, but you can just ease the symptoms a little bit. Now, you've been awarded £1.7 million of the government's Species Survival Fund to try and help the Lea and other local rivers with the effects of climate change. Can you talk us through how you plan to spend the money, what you're going to do to help?
Absolutely. Well, you know, firstly, we're really grateful to have been picked as one of the projects. You know, we definitely think chalk streams are a worthwhile cause to be investing in. And I think the government are, you know, starting to recognise that as well. So that's great news. So over the next 18 months, in partnership with a range of landowners, angling interest groups and volunteers, we'll be working to restore around 11.5 kilometres of chalk streams in Hertfordshire. Then looking at the Lea, the Stort, the Ash and the Quin. It will be quite a big and complex set of capital works. It, you know, been in the pipeline now, and these projects have been developed for quite a number of years in partnership with these other players. So we're really happy to see the work being able to be delivered on the ground. It will really be about, ideally, restoring the channel morphology, the habitats within the river channel, and reconnecting those chalk streams to their wider floodplain landscape, creating additional wetland areas within that landscape as well. So as an example, we're looking at reconnecting remnant meanders that have been filled in the past, putting wiggles back in the rivers and putting them on their floodplain bottoms where possible, where they've been straightened or perhaps moved for things like road and railway building. We'll be putting back lots of large wood into those rivers to create new habitat for fish, help scour the riverbed and vary flow pattern through that channel, and help to slow and speed up flows at different times of year according to what the water levels in the channel are doing, creating new ponds, reconnecting ditches. So quite a big program of work, and some of that will help as well with natural flood management benefits. So encouraging water times of high flow to come out into the floodplain and sit there rather than flushing down to communities like Hertford.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like big digger work. It sounds like it could be quite disruptive, a lot of this. Isn't this going to disrupt all the wildlife? Is it going to be worth it?
There's a lot of careful planning that goes into these schemes. So, you know, for years we've been monitoring these sites, and of course, any work that's predicted to impact protected species, there are full species surveys and ecological clerks of work involved overseeing the programme. So we know where things are in terms of what we want to protect, and we know where habitat is such that with some modification, it could provide a lot better quality to the wildlife that thrives in and around the area. So yes, it will be, you know, relatively disruptive, but we're phasing it across these 18 months, these 2 years really. to ensure that we're only working in small areas on any one go, and all the species as part of that assemblage are fully protected.
And I suppose you have done big digger work on in other places, on other reserves that you have, and seen the benefits there. So you are experienced in making sure that you get the right result in the long run. So I wondered, when I was looking at the press release from the government about this, they said that you said that you were going to help with the restoration of 109 different species with the work you're doing. Can you just tell us about a few of those?
Absolutely. A lot of species associated with wetlands and rivers, and that 109, just for context, came from the record searches that we've done within the project areas that we're working, looking at recent records in the last 10 years of likely species that will benefit from that work. So that's where that big number comes from. But really, you know, we could probably draw the work down to a few target species that we're really trying to help in the Hertfordshire context that we know are critically endangered or struggling in that wider sense as a result of climate change and other pressures. So for us, we're very much attached to our water vole work. So for the last 20 years, the Trust has been leading that for Hertfordshire. And all of this work to restore the linear lengths of our rivers, to create that complementary wetland habitat in the floodplain, will ideally be of benefit to enabling waterfall populations to spread out and to really create more of a stronghold for them here in Hertfordshire. All of the rivers have been surveyed. We know that there are waterfall in patchy presence on some of them, absent from others. So we hope through this work we can really consolidate those populations and give them a fighting chance for the future. Another maybe less cuddly species we're really focused on are wild brown trout. The trout, you know, locally rare, they've been lost from 2/3 of their native range in the UK over the last 100 years. So really quite a species we would say all with rank in the UK, and something that we're working hard alongside other partners to support. So, for example, with the work, we'll be reinstating the riverbed gravels where they've been dredged out through past mismanagement. We'll be creating varied flow patterns on the riffles to offer new spawning habitat for these fish, creating huge backwater areas for the fry to take refuge in high flood flows out of the way of harm. So really trying to create a stronghold for those fish too, bypassing structures as well where possible. So things like fords or culverts, trying to enable fish to move up the river system and escape different environmental conditions.
Well, that's great to hear, because as you just said, it sounds like actually, you know, we're lucky to have any brown trout left here, and it would be great if we could do something to help boost national populations, wouldn't it? It's something that we've heard quite a lot about in the news recently is beavers, and it sounds like quite a lot of what you're talking about, you know, beavers might be able to help with. I don't suppose this is anything that might be being considered at the moment, or were you unable to share any discussions about that sort of thing?
So that we don't have any plans as a trust as yet in Hertfordshire to be looking at beaver reintroduction. Of course, it's something which the Wildlife Trust movement nationally have been involved in and continue to do so. From a kind of river restoration perspective, beaver can potentially provide some relief and some solutions to improving the condition of our chalk rivers. However, there are certain factors that they might not be able to fully influence. For example, where a river has been realigned off of the floodplain and dredged out, you know, I think there's a bit more research to be done as to how long it would take a beaver population to really reinstate that river. Of course, Hertfordshire is pretty heavily populated as well. We're quite an urban and dense county. So before any beaver reintroduction were to be considered, there'd be a big piece of work looking at, you know, the feasibility of them being in Hertfordshire in general.
Indeed. So perhaps never say never, but we're not ready for beavers yet. Instead, we've got you doing some of the excellent work that they might do. So the money that you've been given, you're going to be helping the rivers in the east of Hertfordshire. Is there any plans for any of the other rivers, things like the Colne or the Vare or the Gade, any of the rivers over a little bit further west?
So not directly through my project, the Species Survival Fund, but there are different programmes of work ongoing in some of those Chilterns chalk streams that we call them, that are the tributaries of the Colne. So the Chiltern A and B are hosting a project called Smart Winter Catchments at the moment, which is looking at some of this work over there. But nothing that I'm directly involved in through this funding, though.
Lovely. And I just wondered, time-wise, when you were thinking of starting this work and when we and wildlife would be able to see the benefits?
Well, as we speak, there's diggers out and about, and they have been for the last 3 months or so now. So it's been very much a quick start, let's say. You know, we were given the green light with the funding, and because these projects have been long-standing, you know, developed in trusted partnerships, we were ready to sort of run with them as soon as that green light was given. So for the last 3 months, we've been restoring about 4 kilometres out of that 11, and the work programme will continue into the autumn and then restart again next spring into summer.
Well, that is great to hear. That's great to hear that you're working so quickly, and say hopefully creatures like the waterfowl on the brown trout will be able to feel the benefit very soon. Sarah, thank you so much for explaining all that to us.
Very welcome, Amanda. Thanks for having me.
I was talking there to Sarah Perry, River Catchment Coordinator at the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust. And if you're interested in finding out what Watford Borough Council are doing to help another chalk stream, the River Colne, then head to the podcast page of mix926.com, where you'll find a podcast on that, along with many other podcast goodies for you to enjoy. Now, if you have children or grandchildren, then you might be interested in a new eco club. The Greenhouse on London Road, St Albans, is launching a free monthly climate club for children aged 7 to 12, and they want to hear what our junior planet protectors would like their club to be about. So do go along between 10:30 and 12 on Saturday the 21st of September for a drop-in session, have a chat and sign up to join if you'd like. There are going to be free activities and refreshments, and everybody is welcome. Do get in touch with ideas for what you'd like to hear on Environment Matters via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on X and on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.